How did I get up from the knockdowns? I don't know.
12 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV for Saturday, of course, October 9th. The big heavyweight title fight tonight at the T-Mobile Arena, which was right outside my room last week. Of course, I stayed at the Park MGM down there in Las Vegas. Took in Bruno Mars, and he was amazing. I mean, he was amazing. Without a doubt, he is the king of pop. I kid you not. Anyway, but the bottom line is the T-Mobile Arena is like right across the street, like within a block of the MGM, both of the MGM properties. So the place will be rocking tonight. Not quite a sellout, I'm told. I wonder why. We'll bring in boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, and ask him why. How come if this fight is such the fight that it is and boxing fans are starved, why is this fight not sold out yet, Socrates?
Hey, that's a great question. It's a fight that, when it first was made, I was like, well, do we really need to know who's the better man? I mean, in the first two fights, obviously, you know, it was clear that Tyson Fury was a superior fighter. But credit to Deontay Wilder. He's got a great team behind him, good managers, and they forced this third fight. It was not Tyson Fury's priority, as we know. There was a lot of pump faking with Eddie Hearn saying that he had a venue for Joshua and Fury to happen. That didn't happen. And we are here for this third fight. And as of last week, there were plenty of seats left. That's strange because it's being promoted by ESPN and Fox. Those are two pretty big powerhouses. And maybe it's something to do with the pandemic, you know, the economy, people are uncertain. Close to the holidays, people are kind of, you know, this is the time that people are looking at their Christmas shopping. It could be a lot of factors. And also, I think a big factor is the restrictions for the British fight fans to fly over.
Good point. Okay, does Al Haymon ever put together a solid five-star show that makes money and this and that where everybody's happy at the end of the night, or is he just like doomed to like not complete? I don't know. Is he not fulfilling his prophecy?
Well, you know what? At least on paper, this looks like a pretty nice card. I mean, you have a few people that are undefeated fighting. Obviously, it's a joint effort between Top Rank and PBC. Edgar Belanga is on the card. Nice. You have the Cuban heavyweight fighting the Nigerian heavyweight, both undefeated. It's a decent card, you know. Now, the problem is with today's attention span, the casual fight fan will probably tune in just for the main event. You know, gone are the days of Don King with the stacked four world title fights, Chavez, Trinidad, Terry Norris.
But he used to kill us. You didn't cover those fights at ringside. He used to kill us, man. He would start the fights like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they'd still be going like at 9 o'clock.
He had a big roster back then. Yes.
Oh, everybody. What did Don say to me? He goes, "Gotta get people paid, Pedro. Gotta get people working." I mean, at 2:30, we'd have these guys fighting, and then the main event would come on like at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and you know, and then of course Don would be talking till 1:30 in the morning. By the way, he apparently is in good health. He's just not talking to me.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's the gist because everybody tells me they talk to him and that he sounds fine, and yet I call him and he clowns me and doesn't call me back. So, you know, bottom line is.
Well, it's his loss.
I look at it that way as well. You know, I'm going to get into Tommy the Duke Morrison a little bit later, but you talked about about the great team he's got together, Deontay Wilder. Is Malik's, would the addition of Malik Scott make that truly a great team?
You know what? They're friends. And obviously, you know, there's a certain level of trust and comfort. And at least for Wilder's psyche, it's a good thing. I don't know if maybe after the fight, Malik Scott is going to be on the chopping block because Deontay Wilder's track history is he doesn't know how to handle a loss. He blamed people spiking his water. You know, he threw Mark Breland under the bus. Everyone was to blame but the man in the mirror. So I guess we'll find out, you know, after the fight. Malik Scott, former heavyweight, a good buddy. He did good business with him. And,
Wait. Time out. What do you mean he did good business with him? What do you mean by that? I mean, come on, there's a little old lady in Iowa. So what is he talking about? Business? What? You know, what's up?
Yeah, you know what? He was a jobber, you know, to take a turn from pro wrestling. Malik Scott turned into the SD Jones to Deontay Wilder.
Not explaining what I mean. You're not. I mean, come on, man. I guess if you were like a sports genius, you could figure out what you're saying, Mr. PhD. But you're not making it layman-like.
Well, I will stop sugarcoating. In my opinion, and in the eyes of many, Malik Scott threw the fight when he fought Deontay Wilder. He took a dive.
He took it like Greg Louganis in the Olympics.
That's it. That's it.
Stone Cold
he made Greg blush.
Okay. That's why I brought that up. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Russian judge.
Pardon me, sir?
Except for the Russian judge. He gave him a 9.5 instead of a perfect 10 for that dive.
Good point. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, we come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network. I keep going and going and going. But the bottom line is we are featuring the live video broadcast, of course, of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and delayed at Twitch.tv. And within a week or so, within a couple of weeks, Veev TV, the new network, Veev TV, will be checking on, picking up Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I understand they will be re-airing it, the video portion, within 24 hours of its production. So if we go live on Sunday here, we go live or we go delayed Monday on Veev TV. So that is the plan, according to the folks, the Jackamans, both Mr. and Mrs. Jackman, who run Veev TV. So I want to thank them for their courtesy, their professionalism, the fact that they got this camera rocking and rolling to me next week. We've got, you know, my man Raul Valdez is going to be doing his thing as far as putting the camera together. So I got a great team, Socrates. I'm really happy, especially with my PhD. Boxy's PhD, man, nobody can match your knowledge. Just nobody can.
You are the best hype man there is, sir. I appreciate your loyalty, and the check's in the mail, sir.
Okay. Bottom line is, you know, and I tried to stress this with Hector this morning, and he didn't seem to get it. But he says, he was a master boxer. I wasn't a master boxer. In other words, he would counterpunch you, and everything he did in the ring was calculated. None of my stuff was calculated. I was just violent. You know, I mean, that's just it. I was just violent. I mean, I jabbed and moved. I mean, I boxed. But the bottom line is I was the one who imposed my will with violence. Hector did it with finesse. And, you know, he said to me that tonight, he said, you know, I can't see this fight going any different than it has in the past as far as, you know, the 18 rounds, of course, in the bank. I think Tyson Fury probably won, 16 of the 18? Maybe 15 of the 18, if you want to give maybe Deontay Wilder the benefit of the doubt in one of those rounds. But at the end of the night, the domination was such that I can't see it going the other way. It just doesn't appear that this fight has outside of the one-punch knockout power of Deontay Wilder, and it hasn't been one-punch knockout because Wilder got up twice. So I've taken your best shots, and I've gotten up. What more have you got, Deontay?
1,000%. That's right. That is definitely Deontay Wilder's shot. That, you know, he's got that eraser. But Tyson Fury took it, and that was an out of shape, rusty Tyson Fury. The Tyson Fury that showed up in the second fight was obviously a different animal, and he steamrolled Deontay Wilder. Now, I do think that the delay, the postponement, will benefit Wilder, and maybe Tyson Fury didn't train as hard in this fight. You know, he's had a baby, COVID. We don't know, because Tyson Fury, for his skill and as great of a performer that he is,
he's a nut job.
There you go. I was trying to sugarcoat that one, but yeah, he's unstable. You know, and he admits it. He admits it. I mean, but that little bit of craziness and that mean streak is what's scary about him, because didn't he lick Deontay Wilder's neck? He was busting him up when he had him bleeding from his ear. He tasted Deontay Wilder's blood. Like, he went back to, you know, to his ancestors of savagery, and, you know, he just annihilated Deontay Wilder. And the funny thing is, during the first go around, they were buddy buddy. They would, I think, took the same private jet together during the promotions. Now they hate each other, and it's been slanderous accusations. Up until yesterday, there was controversy about gloves. with Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder's camp is questioning the legitimacy of the gloves. They have to cut them open. I don't know if you saw a video for that. It's really ugly. And let's see, you know, if finally when they step in the ring, it's a competitive fight.
Well, let's hope Mauricio and the WBC can put some organization to this event. I mean, the bottom line is it's their show. We'll see what happens. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're going to discuss bare knuckle boxing on the other side of the break. Why? Because somebody died from it this week. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. The guest, the one, the only, boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. More with Sock after the break.
Things like this happen. The best man won tonight, but my trainer, my coach, my side, threw in the towel. And, you know, I'm ready to go out on my shield, man. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of things going on coming into this fight, but it is what it is. You know, I was already, my leg was already re-coming in due to other little things. But, you know, I make no excuses tonight. I just wish that my corner would have let me win out on my shield. I'm a warrior.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You sure know your boxing?
Well, all I know is never bet on the white guy.
Except tonight. Tonight, bet on the white guy. You are tuned to Ring. Well, no, am I right or what? That's just the way it is. Tonight, bet on the white guy. Tyson Fury, I think, is a minus 280 favorite as I speak, and Deontay Wilder is a plus 235 underdog. Good luck on that one. Bottom line is, we're going to switch gears right now and talk about the atrocity that is bare-knuckle boxing. A couple of years ago, a promoter came to me and said to me, you know, Pedro, I want to do this bare-knuckle boxing thing, and you would be the face of it. I said, what do you mean I would be the face of it? He goes, well, you know, your commentary, this and that. He goes, I'd get you a blow-by-blow guy, or you can do the blow-by-blow. He was going to give me my choice to do whatever I wanted on the broadcast. I respectfully declined. And he was blown away by that. He goes, you haven't been in TV in years. Why would you decline an opportunity to come back to TV? I said, because I wouldn't come back in that manner. Not with that genre of boxing or fighting, whatever you want to call it. The bottom line is, I just don't think there's any sport to it. I think it's as brutal as it gets, and people get hurt. And I'm not talking about just breaking their hands. Earlier this week, a young man by the name, and that wasn't young, but he was in the late 30s, Justin Thornton, a veteran of MMA, took his decided he was going to cross over and do the bare-knuckle boxing thing after going 6-18 as an MMA fighter. In other words, he wasn't very good in the world of MMA. But in the world of bare-knuckle boxing, I believe he was 0-5 in his last five fights, and guess what? He had been knocked out in the first round each time. So when he was poised, when he was pushed into this fight this 6 weeks ago to engage this other man who was 48 or 49 years old, they knew what time it was. I mean, the guy had been knocked out in the first round five times in a row. What are the chances of six? Pretty significant, right? Well, that's what happened. He got knocked out in the first round, but he didn't get knocked out. He got essentially killed because he got hit so hard that when his face hit the canvas on that knockdown, that it busted up his spinal cord. He had a bruise. His spinal cord started bleeding. The bottom line is the young man was essentially dead in the ring that night, but of course it took 6 weeks before he passed away this past week at the age, I think, of 38 years old. But at the end of the day, he should have never been fighting. And the matchmaker, the guy that put this card together, he should be arrested for involuntary manslaughter. And that's just the way it is. And guess what? Once you sick up, once you like put one of these matchmakers on point and like charge him criminally, forget civilly, charge him criminally. That and maybe the promoter as well, that, you know, there's something happened here that shouldn't have happened. In other words, you were putting a man into a ring with a real, real good indication that he was going to get hurt, that it was going to end in a result that you wanted. So therefore, the result that you wanted ended up in his death. So what I'm trying to tell you is you should have to pay, both criminally and civilly. Now, after that rant, I bring in boxing's PhD, once again, Socrates Palmer. Do I have any validity there?
Yes. because of how you went at it. You were fair. You basically said that bare knuckle boxing is not your cup of tea, but you didn't attack bare knuckle the sport. You attacked the matchmaking and the mismatch. That's great research by you, as always. I did not know that the deceased fighter was 0-5 in his last five, 0-5, and suffered knockouts in all those defeats. The guy definitely was damaged going in and overmatched. And from what I read, his opponent and him actually have a history. They fought in an MMA bout back in 2013. That also ended in a knockout. So, obviously the guy was a true warrior. He loved to fight.
But he couldn't fight. 18 seconds, he was flat on his face. Listen, you should not. Listen, this is a serious, serious business, okay? And people say it's a sport. It's not a sport. It's a business. If it's a sport when you're an amateur. It's a business if you're in it as a professional. And this guy was evidently making some money at this point in time, and somebody needed the other guy to win. So, in other words, they brought him in to lose. They knew he was going to lose. Listen, Ray Charles could have picked this. A blind man. Anybody could have picked the other guy to win.
Yeah, definitely a bad job by David Feldman, who's the owner of Bare Knuckle Boxing. And you know what? I'm not going to be a hypocrite on this show. I do watch when they have their pay per views. I've seen, but it's mostly because they've had some pretty big names step in. Paige VanZant. From UFC, fought in it not too long ago.
Paulie
Malignaggi, yes, Chop Chop Corley, my boy from the DC area. So it's intriguing because it's different. It's and the show itself. I believe Shaquille O'Neal even has something to do as an investor in BKFC. I may be wrong, but I could have sworn I saw something like that. So it has a niche. It's obviously it's not happening at the Garden. It's in, in the sticks in Mississippi and in, very rural areas of the South. Very tragic. And hopefully the family is compensated, as best as they can be. But a horrible job by the matchmakers. And it kind of goes against how they build up their business, is that it's a competitive fight that anyone could win. There aren't the politics involved as in traditional boxing or MMA, and just a horrible job by BKFC, even allowing that guy in the ring. Kind of like what we had in Canada with the young lady, the Mexican young lady who died a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yeah,
tragedies happen when you mismatch fights, and it's very sad.
Well, and somebody said to me, "Well, what's the mismatch when you take the New York Yankees and you put them in against a little league team?"
Yes, that's a great comparison. Yes, we know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen anyway. Best to Justin Thornton and his family. Now back to tonight's fight. Are you going to be looking at this fight through that hole in the wall again, the fence?
Shh, my neighbors are getting wise. Yes, I will.
Your neighbors are getting wise.
Yes, it's starting to get cold, so I don't know how long I'm going to be doing that.
I know. What's the pay-per-view cost here? $100?
Wow, I don't even know. Probably. I'm assuming. I mean, they charged $70 for, like, I think, the last Fox pay-per-view, which was, I think, Pacquiao and Ugas. So I'm assuming this has to be about $100. They did, to their credit, for fight fans, it's a pretty stacked card, compared to the other mediocre stuff that normally happens in these pay-per-views. So I do think that the fight fan will get their money's worth. But let's face it, who really orders
Time out. They'll get their fight, but you're not going to pay the $79.99. That's what you're trying to tell me. You're going to watch this through a hole in the fence, or watch this through your shade, through your neighbor's window, and that kind of good stuff. But you're advocating spending the $80, but you're not going to spend it.
Listen, I support boxing. I support boxing to the fullest. I don't just abuse and use a credential. I do pay a ticket, But let's say, who really watches a pay-per-view fight by themselves? I mean, come on. I mean, it's like, who watches a Super Bowl by themselves, or, who spends Christmas alone? It doesn't happen. Or Thanksgiving alone, rather. You know, so if you've got some friends, buck up, $10, get 10 guys, you know, and you know, pass the hat around, you'll be okay. I will make it my business to watch this fight, and hopefully my neighbors don't change their shades.
Okay, Bruno Mars kicked ass last week. I mean, that man was unbelievably impressive, and I told you about all the guys I've seen in the past. I'm still, like, blown away 1 week later.
Yeah, he's a bad boy, man. Next time he's on the East Coast, I'm going to make it my business to catch him. He is just a multi-talented guy. He could sing, dance.
Right.
I believe he writes his own music.
Plays a guitar, piano. Yeah. I mean, I can go on and on. And the bottom line is he's doing some gigs in Baltimore. I don't know how close you are to Baltimore, but he's doing some gigs in Baltimore. He's doing a thing with the MGM Hotel, one in Vegas and one in Baltimore, Maryland. So he signed this exclusive residency contract with the MGM where they give him a couple of mil a show.
Okay, it's a 5-hour drive. Maybe I got to check Foxwoods, because Foxwoods, I think, recently is MGM now.
Yeah, wonderful. Anyway, say hello to the wife, kiss the kids. We'll talk soon.
My brother, all the best to you, and everyone enjoy tonight.
All right, real quick before I let you go now, is this a knockout win for Tyson Fury?
I will be shocked if it's not a knockout. Yes, I like Tyson Fury somewhere between the 6th and the 8th round.
There is a prediction of Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, coming to you live on WBC TV, of course, and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More after the break.